He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin.
This is Car Keys.
Baby, you can drive my car. Hello, listeners, for this week's show of Car Keys with Jada Markin and Robin Leach. We are going to, at least some of us are going to talk about the tale of two touchscreen experiences, which I will be the author of just for a few minutes. I recently, or actually before this show started this morning, I was driving a Q5 Audi 2021, not a 26. Things have changed between those 2 years in the screen department. And I have two Jeep Cherokees with touchscreens, also vintage 2020 and 2019. And those touchscreens have changed for further comment later between those 2 years and the 2026 Cherokee, which has just recently come out. So I cannot tell the listeners about the 2026 versions. But the key to my comment about the touchscreen situation is how annoying some of them are versus others that aren't, even though I may still consider them somewhat annoying as well from the old days, and I am old, of yes. Dials on your dashboard, push buttons with preset channels and the like, which made it very easy and still does in the cars that I have to find stations as you're driving along 75 miles an hour, as I was doing this morning at 684. To the point, the Q5 touchscreen is very annoying in the following way, and this would apply to any touchscreens which has the display similar to the Audi Q5, which is basically not much information is standing in front of you while the touchscreen is on if you have located something such as radio stations and you are attached to a radio station. The screen reduces itself to basically the station you're on, and in order to change channels when you lose one station along a 65-mile run between point A and B and want to get to another station, you have to reload the screen by going into the list number, and you have to look at it and push your finger on it.
Wait a minute. Let me interrupt you for a second.
Bumping along a road.
Robin, let me interrupt for a second. Let me interrupt.
Okay.
Do the newer Audis, and I've driven a few, but I honestly cannot remember now. Don't these cars also have the wheelie in the center console?
Okay, I'm going to
turn the wheel and click.
As does both versions of the cars we're talking about this situation. However, to interrupt myself, with what I was going towards, unless you know the station's call letters and or names as you're in a unknown area of radio stations, those little buttons to push to do voice control and try to get a station aren't of much use. Because
no,
you don't
not
know what you're asking for. You do not know what you're asking for. And with the Audi radio system, it's very interesting. It locates the stations that it receives as you're driving along. So when you push the list to pop the list up beyond the station call letter that you're just listening to and just only shows on the screen, up pops a list of stations. And then you've got to scroll and then try to touch it with your thumb to hit the station you want. And if you're on a road that is not particularly smooth, but it doesn't matter what it is or not, it is very hard to get, in my case, the thumb to hit the right station. And I hit more than one incorrect station trying to get the one I wanted when I wanted to change stations. So be it for the inconvenience of that touchscreen system. And any touchscreen system that requires you to scroll between numbers because they don't all show up at once is not very good in a safety factor. The Jeep, on the other hand...
So the only thing I will add to that is...
The older Jeep is much more convenient and is not as distracting. We have been talking about the distraction of the touchscreen situations, and Jay and I think both, and I both agree that there is a distraction factor that is not very pleasant, especially if you're just using a car in a rental from a rental agency on a trip. And there is no consistency between many of the touchscreens between the manufacturer's vehicles that you might find yourself in. But anything that takes your eyes off the road for more than a second is not convenient from a safety standpoint. Jay, your comment.
A couple of things. If you go back in time, I think the radio controls I thought were the best at the time were the early to mid 2000s GM radios, with just a couple round buttons that dials that you turned and pressed, and you could very quickly and very easily find any one of hundreds of radio stations on any band with you
Certainly
were
the dial,
cruising.
you just run,
Yep,
turn it,
turn
and
the
you
dial
just
and you
listen
could
to
see
the
them all
stations
go
come
right by.
in.
And some
Right.
cars still have that. I mean, I you know, the you're talking about the touchscreen on the Audi. I don't know that it also doesn't come with the round dial in the center
It
console. I can't
does.
remember. Okay, well, if you use that, you can navigate pretty easily and pretty quickly through the menus.
I'm sorry. I correct myself. The Audi does not come with a round dial to twist through numbers
Okay.
that might flash across the touchscreen. There is
I
no dial in there.
okay. I don't
There's an
remember
up
which.
and down arrow on the touchscreen, theoretically to click, but whether it jumps stations or whether it
So
goes station by station
all
is the
that is a
question
moot
that is
point
not
because
clear.
mod all that is a moot point because the voice activated commands are just getting better and better,
If you
and we
know
just need
what
to
to
start
ask
using them.
for, Jay, if
Well,
you know
there's
what,
that.
and listeners, if you know what to ask for, you are correct. I can push the button on my Audi steering wheel or my Jeep steering wheel and say, tune to FM 98.1 or 99.2 or XM channel 35. I know somewhat what are on the numbers I call, but if I'm in a strange place, what do I know what to ask for on the voice control in a rental car in Chicago, Illinois?
Just focus on the driving.
Right. Focus on the driving, but that's why the touchscreens are not the magic answer in this modern world of engine of technology in installation on the new cars coming forth.
All right, let's
Enough
go.
on that, Jay. What do you have to
Yes.
say?
Well, I had a bunch of subjects we could
Good.
talk about. And now I lost them.
Well,
But the following the news, the usual. I was reading about Rivian. I was l reading about
let's
Lucid.
talk about Rivian because
Okay.
Rivian is a very interesting electric car vehicle and it's very popular in both my eyes and your eyes. And the owners that I have been able to interact with have all loved their Rivians. And you put forth on my screen a very interesting Uber driver experience, which is a very good tutelage for a very quick knowledge about a long-term high mileage in a year's use of a Rivian electric vehicle, the pros and the cons of that particular vehicle for anybody who might want to purchase it. We don't need to talk too much about it, but the Rivian is a very good electric vehicle
Well,
overall.
basically, this customer was saying he's owned the Rivian for about a year, the R1S, right, the SUV, and has put on about 90,000 miles in that 1 year, and figured that he saved a ton of money. And I don't remember.
I will
Yeah,
jump in and say he used the term $14,000 in
yes,
fuel costs. And
right.
as opposed, I don't know what the electric cost him, but that's but
Well,
he definitely had saved over probably a several thousand, maybe over the fuel cost of fossil fuels.
I believe obviously at 90,000 miles in a year, he's driving more than most people, right? The average, I think, is somewhere around 12 to 15,000 miles a year.
And he charged it every night, and sometimes half the time he got a half a charge during the day's use from the full
Correct.
charge needs of his usage of the car.
Charging in, and this is a rule of thumb, I'm not quite sure of the numbers, but I believe that charging in public fast charging stations costs roughly twice as much as what charging at home would cost. So he was well aware that when he was recharging during the day just to get a boost to get home or whatever, that was costing him more than what he was paying for
Have an overnight charging
to
port at
bring it
home,
overnight.
right? Yeah. Okay.
But again, you know, with 300, 400 mile range, 300 mile range, that covers the needs of most people. And I keep saying it over and over and over again. You know, most people can just charge at home and never have to go to a charging station. So,
In between.
Having said that, and talking about the R1 and how great it is, both the SUV and the truck, I read elsewhere that the configurator for the R2, the smaller SUV coming out in 2027, is about to open, I think, next month. So you will be able to go and configure and place an order for Rivian R2 sometime in May of this year. So we may want to play with that a little bit and see what we
Okay.
come up with.
I'd like to change topics if you're ready, Jay, to windshield replacement costs. Back in the day before we had cameras in the windshields and other electronic things that seemed to be taped or glued or attached to the new windshields on new cars, on the insides. I think they're radar sensors or maybe cameras. But you've got something stuck to the windshield, and you have to replace a windshield. You no longer just go and replace a windshield, which used to cost roughly $350, maybe less even back then, because it didn't have anything but a piece of glass that had to be replaced and put in place. The windshields today are now costing between, probably on most modern cars, $1,400 and up, depending on the amount of technology that's attached to the windshield of cars. Now, you get most of the pe many people get what do they call it? Part of insurance that covers windshield replacement from the insurance company. But as ca I have noted that my car insurance costs this particular year are if not doubling over what they were like 2 years ago per car, seem to be going up. And we have talked intermittently on certain shows over the years that because of the technology upgrades of cars and things like cameras and other sensors that are embedded in front fascias of the front ends of cars, now in the back ends and bumpers. Bumper sensors and on the sides of cars, when you get hit in a new car, you have a lot of things to do besides just fix the metal and maybe replace some light bulbs in a car that has caused the insurance company's costs of car repairs to skyrocket. You buy a high performance Mustang or a high performance Hyundai N version, and you hit something with that car, or get hit with something in that car. Those costs increase over the base models of those cars as well. But windshields, we bring up the windshield situation because I've noted that my Cherokees I've been remarkably chip resistant in both the Jeeps or the three Jeeps that I've owned during their ownership, and they're now all what are they? All 4 years old and older,
Yeah, they're much
and
older.
they are sloping wind swept back windshields in comparison to something like the Toyota Land Cruiser, which has been mentioned in one of the magazines as having gone through two and they call it expensive windshield replacements in a year's worth of use of that vehicle, totaling $4,200 and change. For those two windshields to be totally replaced, and which includes camera realignment, back to what I was saying earlier about something that was in the attached to the windshield that had to be aligned when the new windshield was put in. So, what happens is in the wintertime, you have stones from sand trucks and other things, and you have you on year round, we have stones that fall out of some of these big dump trucks that are patrolling our roads, carrying asphalt, dirt, whatever else in their back, that whenever a truck goes over a bump, you need to be aware as you're driving behind them of what falls out of the back of these big trucks that
Yeah,
carry
you know what?
loads of
It
stuff.
brings me, I always have to smile and shake my head when you're following one of these trucks. You usually don't follow them by choice, but it's, you know, they have their big signs that says do not follow.
Yeah, stay
So
500 feet beyond, or don't
yeah,
tailgate,
okay.
or something.
How
Boy, do
about
they mean it for other reasons other than whatever else they're using that sign for.
recently I saw one that said not responsible for broken windshields. I'm like,
That's
okay.
very right. I have had a windshield chip from a stone. When the stones and pebbles and things fall out of the back tailgates of these trucks, they bounce on the road often. More than once before they come to a rest on the road. And if you are too close behind these vehicles, you should be very, and you should now, listening to this on this show, change your driving habits if you are known to be a tailgater behind these big trucks that are carrying loads of construction materials or whatever else, and are driving in front of you.
Actually, when they're empty, that
Well,
they
they're
lose the
empty. They
most
also
bones.
drop stuff. That's true.
Yeah, they go over a bump and then everything rattles and shakes out of there.
That's correct.
Anyway, I just tend to pass them and try to forget about them.
Well, I guess back to the windshield for one final comment. The more vertical your windshield is on your vehicle, and some of the SUVs, such as the Toyota Land Cruisers, the Broncos, the Jeep Wranglers, were all mentioned in the Motor Trend article on this. Are all relatively vertical compared to some of these swept back type windshields that are on the sedans and the SUVs, which are less prone to possible dent or chip accidents and or a complete shattering or splintering of a windshield. Jay, let's go back to your list.
All right, best-selling vehicles of 2026. No big, first quarter. No big surprises. I don't have the list in front of me, but you know, at the sharp end of the
Hondas,
spectrum.
Toyotas,
Yes, and
Kias,
pickup
Hyundais.
trucks, of course. But one of them stood out to me. For me, the Honda CR-V, and I got to drive one again in the last few days. The newest model, you know, post 2023 and
Bigger
on,
than ever.
bigger than ever,
Yep.
hybrid, and again, and I read a little bit more about it. I've driven it a few times, and I remember reading about it when it came out. So that mostly there is no connection between the internal combustion engine and the wheels being driven. So basically, the engine is a generator. Drives a generator, which in turn charges a battery, which in turn
Propels
supplies
the
the
car.
energy to the electric motor that drives both the front and the rear wheels when needed. And only when at highway speeds or driving up a very steep hill does the engine directly engage to the drive
Drivetrain?
wheels. Yes.
Are you
So
sure about that? Because
I'm
I would tend
absolutely
to
positive,
disagree.
and I knew about it a little bit and didn't quite understand it. Went back and read about it this morning. And I have to say, I totally understand why the vehicle is one of the best-selling vehicles. It is one, you know, it's on the more affordable, it's close to the median price of
Forty-five
vehicles being
thousand.
40, 45,000, you know, for a well-equipped one. And I will tell you that they have come a long way from being a compact SUV. They're plush, they're well finished, they're quiet. And if you drive them normally, quote unquote, not necessarily the way I like to drive, but it's a different pace. If you're just driving normally, the power is adequate. And it's just a very comfortable ride. And they get up to 40 miles to the gallon. And anyway, I just think it's a great vehicle. And that hybrid powertrain is interesting. And I also just ran into an article, I think it was this morning, and you may have seen that, Robin, Aramco, the Saudi Arabian oil company, has ordered a prototype being built. It's a hybrid powertrain, so a three-cylinder internal combustion engine that in turn there's axles coming out of each side of the crankshaft, and each one powers that, charges a generator that in turn powers a small electric motor that goes to one wheel or the other. And arguably, the powertrain can be installed either on front wheels or rear wheels of a vehicle. And it's just an interesting concept. It was developed by a company in Detroit, and it's built by a small engine racing outfit in France. I forget the names, but something to follow and to see if the industry is going to follow in that direction. Anyway, just food for thought.
Well, that just goes to show you that technology continues to evolve along many aspects of the electric car world, electric propulsion method world of cars. I don't know whether that's going to hit. It reminds me of when the rotary engine came out from Mazda way back in the 80s or 70s, actually, I think, and whether that Rotax, so-called Rotax engine or rotary engine, was going to become a new engine to go to, and it never did because its mileage didn't turn out to be very good in MPG and efficiencies factor. But periodically you see something like is that the Aramco hybrid powertrain prototype you were just talking about, I think.
Yes.
That looks very technologically interesting. If it works as it is supposed to be going to do. So, I don't know whether we'll be reporting on that in future editions of Car Keys, but those who have picked up on this can continue to listen to us to find out. And Jay will be sure to follow it because I'm going to instruct him to.
All right. And I'm very good at following your direction.
Yes. What else can we talk about? We're heading towards summer. We're out of the snow season, I think.
Hey, let me ask you something. We talked about chips in windshields, and somebody was asking me, are the local towns going to clean the side roads with all the sand still on the roads?
well, they supposedly are going to do that. I don't know,
Have
the
they
towns
started?
have tended to do so. I always thought it would be very good if they would use those sweepers to collect the sand and then put it back into their sand pits. I was told that that can't be done because of the pollutants that are in the sand from other things that fall on the road and get stuck in the sand. So they're not allowed, from an environmental standpoint, to recycle the sand. Whether that's actually really true and they can't recycle it or it's just an excuse not to try and recycle it, I don't know.
So
But,
you're talking about summer driving. What are you going to be driving this summer? I saw that you took out your Mustang last week when it was
well, it
almost
was a
summer.
convertible, and we know how the weather was. It was convertible week for it was a week of ideal convertible use car vehicle weather. I have my 2001 Audi A8, which doesn't get out in the wintertime, and that's out too. And they're all cars that are devoid of all the newest technological advancements that have occurred since these cars were.
Perfect match
The
for you.
Mustang was a 95, and the Audi's a 2001. It has seat belts, and it has chimes for an open door and leaving on your lights, but nothing else to go off and annoy you, and no touch screens of significance, dials for the radio, volume and station control, push buttons in some cases. It has a CD, both have CD players to take care of my CD collection, which the new cars, I
I
would
was going
say
to say you're out of luck these days.
95% don't have CD players anymore
No, I have a
because we
CD.
don't need them.
I have a car with a CD player.
Yeah, and you don't use it probably because you don't have
No, I don't
CDs.
even
But
turn the radio on. It's a
yeah, well, that's you. So at least the cars still come with radios. So even if there are people like Jay listeners that don't seem to use the radio. But what's happening is that the some of the old gadgetry that older people have had in older cars is disappearing from the newest vehicles out. And the Jeep Cherokee is annoying because it's no longer a power port in the dashboard to stick
All right,
a
Robin,
plug
get over
lighter
it.
in.
Get over it.
Jay,
Don't you don't need
no, Jay,
you
it's
do not
got
need
two
to get
US,
another Cherokee. You just do
it
not.
doesn't, the Cherokee is a fine vehicle, but it's
You do,
void
but you
of a
need to move
power
on.
port.
You need to
Okay,
move on.
then you take over.
I think we're about done.
Well, we've got a few minutes because we started late, but safety driving, I would say check your tire treads before the winter comes, because if you are down to where the wear indicators are about level with the rest of the tire surface on your tires, you should not think about keeping those tires through a much less a heavy rained area, but next winter conditions, if we have a winter condition like we did this last year, because tires do wear down. Nobody looks at them. And I'm always looking at tires in cars that are parked next to me in a post office or a market. And it's frightening to see how many tires are down to the wear indicator area. And people will drive them until they get a flat tire, and then maybe they'll figure out they need to get new tires. That's
Well,
my
there's not
safety tip.
a, the other safety tip is that old tires on, collectors' cars
Need to be checked.
need to be changed, period.
I
Tires not.
recently had that happen on my
I know
Jaguar.
that's.
They were cracked. They were at least 10 or 12 years old. They looked like they had great tread on them because the car only has 35,000 miles or whatever it has. And I had to change them because I was told by somebody that they were not safe to drive, if at any speed, at high speeds. And so I put new tires on, tires that looked like they had another 20,000 miles of tread life on them. But they didn't on the sidewalls. And they didn't, and this, and there was actually tread separation between the deep parts of the tread on that vehicle. So yes, old cars with or cars with old tires on them are not safe tires to drive, except maybe at slow speeds around here if you're not going on a trip.
Yeah, any
Agree,
tire that
Jay?
I totally agree. So old tires, even on not if you don't drive the car a lot and the tires have not been changed in 5 or 6 years, they should be changed. That's the
Well, with
moral of the
cars
story.
being and with cars being parked outside in the sun dries the tires along with the rubber dries out, and sun accentuates that factor, that wear factor in tires. You often
Yes.
see campers parked with tires covered in people's parking lots, these big motorized campers, as they're trying to keep the sun from deteriorating the tires on those big vehicles, because those tires are very expensive to replace as well.
True.
So I think until next week, we are Car Keys with Jay DeMarkin and Robin Leach.
Car Keys with Robin Leach and Jay DeMarkin is produced at the facilities of WHDD 91.9 FM, RobinHoodRadio.com, Sharon, Connecticut.